I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning and thank you for the opportunity of celebrating International Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for the community of nationals that you have given to us as a church family, and also the opportunity for ministry that you have granted us in many nations. And today we come with hearts of gratitude and we celebrate what you have done. We're grateful to you. We ask, Lord, that you will bless the remaining parts of this service, and we ask, oh God, that you will anoint the preaching and teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated, please. Hallelujah. Today is a very special Sunday. And it's International Sunday in our church. And on International Sunday, we take time to recognize the fact that the world is made up of more people than us, and that to have and to experience the fullness of life that God intends for humanity, you have to be conscious of other people, of others, and be accommodating and accepting of others, regardless of how they look, how they dress, what they eat, how they dance, how they sound, you know, all the different things that separate people are not supposed to be separating us. They're supposed rather to be making our lives richer and more colorful. You know, as the choir Eden was singing, I just saw the beauty of being a little more open-minded and more open to other people, other cultures, because the whole thing looked so colorful. I couldn't help but take photographs of it. You know, it just looked so colorful. If you come here often, you will notice that that's not how they look ordinarily. Ordinarily, they're all wearing white or some, you know, right. And I was thinking that when your life is made up of one group of people, your group only, you look like Eden on those days. Do you understand? Which is very boring. You know, I don't mean that your uniform is boring, but compared to today, you know, and we didn't know what we were missing until today. Do you understand? Yes, and sometimes you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing because you are content with what you're used to, you know. But the fact that you're used to it and are comfortable with it doesn't mean that's all you can have or that is all that exists. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And as a matter of fact, if you were to get a taste of what else exists, you will find yourself very uncomfortable with what you are used to. Do you see? So often when you've accepted something or you have only known one particular thing or have lived with something for a long time, you become very accommodating of it and very accepting of it without considering whether it is the most you can have, it is the best life you can have, or it is the best experience that God has ordained for you. Hallelujah. So International Sunday is an opportunity for all of us to think through it and to understand that the world is a big place. You know, Coward, you have that slide I just sent to you. Can you show it? You know, the world is a big place made up of lots of people. Do you see? Now, if you look at this thing here, you know, each of those circles is a nation. You know, each of those colors is a nation. Now, those of us who live in the United States, can you see the United States over there?
Yeah.
In the green one at the bottom right there. Okay? Now, those of us who live in the United States tend to keep to ourselves because this country is big enough and has enough people in it and has enough going on in it, you know, such that you easily fall for the delusion that no one else matters and that you don't really need anyone else, you see. So there are many people who live in America, many people born here, born in other places, etc., who don't really care much about the rest of the world and who don't ever travel, you know, who don't eat anything other than, you know, fries and burgers, you know, mac and cheese and, you know, other American type foods. Do you see what I'm saying? And can you imagine, look at this picture, look at this picture. When you restrict or limit yourself to the United States, look at how much else you're missing. How much else in terms of color, how much else in terms of culture, how much else in terms of flavors of foods and different kinds of things that enrich people's lives, you know, because you see, the word happy exists in every language. You know, in every language, there is some definition or there is a state to attain which makes someone feel that the word happy is an apt description of the state. Do you see what I'm saying? So people can be happy, perhaps even happier, not eating what we eat, not living where we live, not having what we have, but having other things that make them equally happy, if not even happier. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is important for you as a human being, especially the younger you are, the more open-minded you should try to be. Do you see? And the more open and the more accepting of other people you should become, because your life is actually still forming up, you know, and a day is surely going to come one day when you will actually believe that what I'm saying is true. But then at that point, it will be too late. You see, the older you get, the more difficult it is to include new things in your life. Do you understand? And so on International Day, we talk about openness. On International Day, we talk about, and when I say openness, I don't mean like, you know, free for all. Just open, be open to even evils. Do you see what I'm saying? That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about people. I'm talking about the nations. I'm talking about cultures. I'm talking about foods. I'm talking about different things that have all been created by God. Hallelujah. That is how to have the most enriching experience where life is concerned. Can I have an amen?
Yeah.
Now, today I want to share from John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is the most international verse in the Bible. It is the verse that shows how international God is. Hallelujah. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Now, the first thing, number one, is that God is the greatest person ever, and he loves the world. Amen. God is the greatest person ever, and he loves the world. God, of course, is the greatest person ever. God is the greatest person ever. Whatever they call him, you know, sometimes people don't want to acknowledge God, because when you acknowledge God, then you are forced to follow that acknowledgement with other thoughts. Because if you care about God, then why don't you serve him? Why are you not interested in him? Why don't you go to church? Why don't you do all the things that are associated with people who believe in God? So many people choose to shut him out. And many people actually try to acknowledge his existence by changing his name. You know, by attributing the things that are associated with God to other things. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes people refer to the universe. People talk about a supreme being. People talk about a higher power, right? A higher power. What else? The man upstairs, you know. Whatever you call him, you know, there is a reason why you can't simply call him John. Do you see? There's a reason why you are forced to put him in a class of his own, you know. There is a reason why we are forced to acknowledge that this person, whoever he is, whether he's a person or a force or an influence, whatever he is, there is a reason why we can't relate with him like we relate with all other human beings. We can't think of him like we think of all other human beings, because we all know that if his name is the universe, he is still very different from your brother. You know, if his name is supreme being, he's still very different. If his name even is man upstairs, you know that you think he's a man, but you know he belongs upstairs. He belongs in another class altogether. And the sooner you acknowledge the reality of God's existence, the better it will be for you. Hallelujah. There is no running away from God. There is no running away from the fact that somebody made this beautiful world. There is no running away from the reality that someone has put the world together the way the world has been put together, and someone has made it function the way it is made to function. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people feel that the more scientific you get, you know, then the less religious you will be. But I think that if you understand the purpose of science, science is the tool with which we dissect what God has made. We explore what God has made through science. You know, science is not a phenomenon on its own, such that it becomes a substitute for the knowledge of God. Science is like your cutlery. It's never the food, no matter how beautiful it looks. Do you understand? Yes. When you're eating at a table, you need the cutlery to get the food into you, but you can never eat the fork and knife and say that the fork and knife is so beautiful and so golden, you don't even need the food anymore. So science explains the things that God has made. It explains the planets and the sun and the moon and all the complex things we see around us. It explains the rocks, the rivers, and all the things we see, you know, which amaze us so much. And it has taken the whole of humanity and our entire existence to know just what we know. Do you see? 10 years ago, we didn't know, maybe 20 years ago, we didn't know anything about Bluetooth. Do you see? If you said Bluetooth 20 years ago, people would be looking in your mouth to see if your teeth are blue. That's just 20 years ago. But 20 years later, we now know about Bluetooth. And actually, we've gone beyond Bluetooth into other air dropping, isn't it? That I can actually push something on my iPad and my page will fly from this into your phone. You know, that's how far we've come. And it's not from making anything new, it's from discovering what already existed. But you see, our lives as human beings is so short. You get it? By the time we discover anything, it's already time to die. Do you see what I'm saying? But by the time it starts to make sense, you're already wasted. And the next generation has... So the pace of learning for humanity is so slow that it's taken hundreds and thousands of years, you know, to come to where we are right now. And who knows what else there is to discover. Do you see? And there will be more things to discover. It's just you might not be around. The world is going to get far more interesting. It's just that you won't be here. You know? Perhaps that time is going to come when you can text your food. Maybe. I don't know. But that will be invented only after you have stood on your feet to cook all your life. Perhaps a time is going to come when we may not even need to eat. Maybe you swallow a pill and you're good for a year. Some people said, no. I want my chicken. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says God so loved the world, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because the most important, the greatest person ever loves you, and it makes a difference. Who loves you makes a difference. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, the greatest person is the one whose love we are talking about, and is a big deal. Hallelujah. Then number two is that God shows the greatest love ever known to anyone. The greatest love ever known to anyone. Of course, the love of the greatest person must be the greatest love that can exist. It's a love that transcends the love of a mother, the love of a father, the love of a boyfriend, the love of a girlfriend, the love of a nation. You know, all these kinds of love have a limit. You know, they go up to a point and then they start to suffer and they start to change. Sometimes circumstances change them, you know. But this is the greatest love, that the most important person is crazy about you, must mean a whole lot to you. It's something you need to pay attention to. You know, sometimes when you know a good guy who is very interested in someone who is not paying attention to him, you know, what do good friends do? they talk to the person and they say, listen, you need to pay attention to this person. You get it? He's a good guy. His name is Jack. Not Nicholson, but it's good. Yes. Yes. And it's my job to let you know that someone has been knocking on your door all your life. Someone has been trying to get your attention all your life. His name is God. He's the greatest person ever. Greatest person ever. Has the largest heart ever. And he loves you. And you can't turn your back to such love. You can't afford it. It would be too costly to turn your back on such love. On a love that is coming from the greatest source, the one with the greatest capacity for loving. Hallelujah. Number three is that God loves the greatest number of people ever. God loves the greatest number of people ever. Right. Now, this is where his love begins to differentiate itself from all other kinds of love. You know, it's different from the love of a mother, because most mothers don't love the world. Most mothers don't love the world. Most mothers can't even love outside their own kids. Yes. And many people actually struggle to love anyone they didn't give birth to. Yes. Some people try to treat them all differently, you know, all the same. But when you watch closely, you can see that there's a difference. There's a difference. Yeah. There are two clothes. One fits perfectly. The one is a little oversized. The other kid gets the one that's over. And they're supposed to grow into it. There's always a little difference. A little something that makes the person feel. And that's why even sometimes you see people who have difficulty with having children, their own biological babies, don't easily want to adopt other people's kids. Yes. I mean, they never feel that adopting a child is an acceptable substitute for having their own. Do you get it? Yeah. People want to make their... There are many children in the world looking for parents. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, but people would rather add to the children. Listen, look, I'll just make my own. Yeah, because everybody wants to have their own original made here. Yeah, organic. Locally produced. Do you see? Yes, many people want it. So you see that it's just the way it is. You know, I'm not talking about is it right or wrong. I'm not into that. But I'm just telling you how it is, isn't it? Yes. But God, he loves the world. God has the capacity for loving the world. God is not just into a few people. He's not just into a particular race or into a particular group of people. God made us and made us differently. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Just like your clothes are not all the same color.
That's true. Reach.
Where do you get that from? Why don't you just wear all white all the time? Everything you own is white. Huh? That would be easy. You just have to buy lots of bed sheets and then you just wear them on different days. Huh? Yes. And spray your hair white to go with it. Do you see? But you see that when people are shopping, once they get the blue, they think, I have enough blue. Let me get some yellow. Let me throw in some red. Then you see some people wear the red. So let me put a yellow thing on here to go with the red. So you see yellow and then red. And then you see green shoes or black shoes or something. And they look, they go back. They just look at themselves. And they feel like this is pretty.
Yes.
That's the reason why God didn't fill the whole world with black people. Just imagine if you were up there in heaven and the whole earth was full of black people. You would think you are looking into a tunnel. Yes. Yes. And it's the same reason why God didn't fill the whole world with white people. Because it would be the same as the sky. God is into shades. God is into colors. God is into diversity. God is into variety. God is into different things. And you'll see anything that works well usually is made up of more than its type. Anything that works well. Yes. If you take a plate of food that's supposed to be healthy, it's never made up of one thing. It's not all fish. It's not a big plate with a huge piece of steak on it, and that's it. You just eat that, you die. Yes. But you see, it has a little bit of that, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of that. And that's how people stay healthy. Now, could it be that your life is intended to be like that? And that if the more colors and the more variety you build into your life, the richer and healthier it becomes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. God has made the world like that. God didn't just make, he made different races and made different people and made different kinds of hair and different kinds of skin and different shapes of eyes and different shapes of bodies. Last week I was in a place and I was even telling my mother, my wife, my mother. I might as well. I was in this place and I was telling her, I told her, the people here, they're built differently. And it struck me. I saw that the people, the ladies especially, were built differently. And I was telling her, I said, the ladies, they're shaped differently. Yeah?
It's just an observation.
Yeah? And I'm glad I was sharing it with her. That you have to travel to see that not everybody looks the same way. Yes. I told her the people look like they have an African body in a white skin. Yes. Which... Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So people are different from places and different places. And God made them all. God made them all because he didn't want to be staring at one thing every day. Just like you don't want to be staring at one thing every day. Not even your TV channels. Yes. The whole essence of the remote control is so I can... I don't have to watch CNN all the time. I should be able to watch the news, but Fox. Yeah. Perspectives. A variety of perspectives. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. People want to watch sports, but they don't want to watch sports from the same channel. They want to go to ESPN and see what they're saying. And then they want to come to the other side and see what they're saying. Why do we think that God just wants to see a black face all the time? Or a white face all the time? Or a yellow face all the time? God made us the way He made us because God is into variety. And the more like Him we become, the more international we start to become. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God so loved the world. God loved the greatest number of people that can ever be loved. Most of us would love a small group of people. Would love our wives. Would love our girlfriends, our beloveds. Would love, you know, just a small circle of people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anything outside that is difficult. We begin to stumble once the circle gets larger than 5. You see, even 3 friends, it's said that 3 friends can't easily work together. Yes. When it's 2, it works. But when you add a 3rd one, it doesn't quite work. I mean, why are we are so limited in our capacity for loving. I mean, we can't just love myself, you, and just another person. We can't. We can't. We can't. It just stirs up different juices in our body. Jealousy, envy, all the negatives in us just start coming up just because we added another person. Just one more person. Just one more person. That is why God's love is unique. Because God, He has the capacity for loving the whole world. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Then number 4, God gave the greatest gift ever, which was His Son. He says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Wow. Now, the truth is that all true lovers are givers. Yes. There is no genuine love that doesn't go with giving. Do you understand? Yes. All lovers give something. Anybody who claims to love you and who gives nothing is not a genuine lover. Yes, it's not a genuine lover. Anybody who... Yeah. Some of you date people who give nothing. People who want everything for nothing. Eighty-five, fifteen. Yeah. The ratio of the loves is 85 to 15. Do you know, you're making all the phone calls, you're doing all the caring, you're doing all the forgiving. Last night I was speaking to one brother and he was telling me, I'm the only one who apologizes in this house. I'm the only one who's ever done anything wrong in this house. I do all the wrong, I do all the apologizing, I do all the making up, I do all the fixing of the relationship, and I'm tired. Yeah. Because some relationships are so one-sided. It's like picking up a loaded shopping bag by one hand. It may lift it for a little bit, but with time, it will just snap. And this brother I was speaking to last night, he was just snapping because the weight was too much on him. You know, God loves. The Bible says giving proves the sincerity of your love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Check out that verse real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says in verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything. Okay. As you abound in everything. In faith. In faith, that's believing, right? And then in utterance, that's speaking. Some people abound in speaking, like the brother in the film Stars. You know, I mean, he was in pain. I thought he was about to die. You know, not knowing that he was trying to tell the lady that the rib I lost to make you, I'm hurting from it. Wow. I mean, the lady was just mesmerized. Yeah. Some people know how to talk. I mean, some guys are gifted talkers. Smooth. Like butter. Yeah. You just have to encounter them for a few minutes. And there's some guys who know they're like that. You get it? Yeah, they know. And they'll tell their buddies, look, give me a few minutes with her. You know? And then they'll just go around a little bit. Hi, baby. You know? And they know it. They know it. They can tell that you're melting. You're breaking down. Your heart composition is decomposing and is coming down. And they know it. So some guys are like that. They are gifted talkers. I tell you, they will talk your clothes off your body. You wouldn't even know what happened to you. You wouldn't know how they came off. Yeah, you wouldn't just each word just takes something off. Yeah. So he says that as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us. Then he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. You're right? And if you, because we don't have time, but you see, this is verse 7 we're reading. When you go home and you start reading from verse 1, you see he's talking about giving. He's talking about some people who didn't have much, but who really insisted on being part of the contribution, the giving. Do you see what I'm saying? No matter how little you have, you can give something. Giving is not a function of what you have. See, if you read on, look at verse 6. Now, which verse? We're reading verse 7. Okay, go on to the next one. Verse 7, then verse 8. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove what? The sincerity of your love. To prove the sincerity of your love. If you have a lover who didn't give, that love is not sincere. Right? Now, look at the next verse. Verse 9. He says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Okay, next verse, verse 11. Yes, now therefore perform. Okay, and the next verse, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, can you see that? It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. If that be first a willing mind. So in giving, what comes first is the willing mind. Is there a mind that is even willing? Before we talk about, can you do it? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so willingness comes before ability when it comes to giving. But you see that a lot of people don't have the willingness and they blame it on ability. Are you getting it? Yes. They deceive people and trick people and say, it's because I don't have much. But the truth is, if you gave them even a house full of whatever, they would not even be willing to give it. Yes, but they're hiding behind the absence or the lack thereof. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Ask your neighbor, is it you he's talking about? I get the feeling he's preaching like this because of you. All right, then Number five. I'm almost done. Okay. Number five, God gives the greatest invitation ever, offering whosoever the gift of salvation. Okay. So God is offering the gift of salvation. He says the greatest invitation, that whosoever, do you know any invitation or anything that is claims even to be open to the public, which practices a genuine equal opportunities policy like this one? It says whosoever. Do you know any school that would admit whosoever? No. Yes. You get it. There is no school that would admit whosoever. Whosoever. Anybody can come. There's no such place. Yes. There's no neighborhood that accepts whosoever. Yeah. There's no dealership that says whosoever. Yeah. And there's no guy who says, I want whosoever. Or no lady who says, I want to marry whosoever. No, that's whosoever just doesn't work with human beings. Yes. Even when we say whosoever, there is a secret filtering process that goes on with all human beings. Yes. Yes. The mental fine print. You never see it's there, but you are being sized up. It's being filtered. And the whole thing is being scanned and just put together. And before you know it, you're out. And you're out with a smile. Politely excluded. Right. But God, when it comes to salvation, he says, whosoever, anyone can be saved. Anyone can know God. Anyone can be close to God. God doesn't differentiate or discriminate when it comes to people. Amen. And when it comes to salvation. He says, whosoever, anyone at all can be saved. Can I have an amen? Amen. Anyone can be saved, right? And through the simplest method ever, which is simply believing. He says, whosoever believeth. Salvation involves the simplest method ever. Wow. Yes. Yeah. Believing is free. Believing does not even require education. Believing does not require money. You don't have to be rich to believe. God put salvation within the reach of all mankind. See, this is the reason why when God has to send somebody to hell, he would be a just God for that. Because God lowered the bar and put salvation where everyone can access it. Do you understand? He put salvation where, he says, whosoever, all they have to do is to believe, just to believe that Jesus Christ was sent by God for your sins. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And should not perish is the greatest escape ever. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, should not perish is different from, you know, should not be broke. Yeah. It's different from should not be sick. You know, should not perish is talking about hell. You know, when the choir was singing, they were saying, save the world. Is that what you were singing? Forsake the world, right? There is a better place for you and for me and the entire human race, right? Then it says, there's a hope in heaven or a burning lake of fire. Make a better choice for Jesus today. Wow. People don't believe that there is a hell to escape. But you see, when Jesus is referred to as a savior, it only makes sense if there's something to save you from. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus couldn't be a savior if there was nothing to save you from. Yes. And he wouldn't be called savior for nothing. So salvation is a true and real human need. It's something that we need. It's something every human must experience. And God has provided it for all of us. He says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life, which is the greatest opportunity ever. Do you see? He says, there's a home in heaven or a burning lake of fire. There's a home in heaven or a burning lake of fire. Why don't you want to believe that there is a home in heaven you can have instead of a burning lake of fire? You know, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the maker of the heavens and the earth says. You know, recently I was in a place, I have a picture of it, and we saw a volcano. Yes, we saw a real volcano. You should see it. You should see what a volcano looks like. And we saw the lava burning in there, boiling like a big bowl of soup. I tell you. And it was just burning and burning. As I was looking at it, I was, why does anybody have difficulty believing in hell? Why does anybody have difficulty believing in hell? And also that it's down there. So if we can see a volcano over there, we can see it because that's the part that's open. Nobody knows how wide it goes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But as I looked at it, I said, there is no doubt that there must be a place in hell. I don't know where it is. Of course, you don't have to know where something is to believe it exists. Many of you know there's Disney World here. You don't know where it is, but it's here. You believe it. It's here. Somewhere in Los Angeles or in this area, there is a Disney World. And you believe it. You don't know where it is, but it is there. So where hell is not even an issue. It's the fact that it exists. And I'm saying that if we have volcanoes, we must believe in hell. We must believe that there is a place. There is a place. That fire has been burning. The one we went to see has been burning for hundreds of years. Wow. Yes, it's been burning for a long time. The country has been benefiting from it because it's a tourist attraction. Wow. Yes. They don't have so many things in the country. And then God bless them with this volcano. Huh? So they light it up at night because you see it better at night. Yes, you see it better at night. It's red, it's down there, and you can see it boiling, just boiling, just boiling. It's just fire. I tell you. Yes. And the guys were telling us, it was, you know, they said they had some scientists from America who came to, they came to sort of explore it or something like that, and they went down there. And I was asking, did they go inside the fire? I said, oh, no, no. They went near it. And to go near it, they had to come in space suits. Yes. They were dressed in space suits just to go a little near it. To sort of understand what they were looking at. You know, if there's a place like that, right here. The place is Nicaragua, right here. Yeah. If there's a place like that, just across the ocean, why can't we believe it when the Bible tells us that one day, he says, whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He should not perish. He should not go to hell, but he will have everlasting life. Everlasting life means you go to heaven. Do you see? So why won't anybody, at least now, the scientists are convincing us that there are places beyond this earth. at least we are all sure that there are other planets. Okay? So even if we don't know whether there's heaven or whatever, at least we know there's more than Earth. Isn't it? There's Mars. There's Jupiter. Last week they said they had discovered some new planet or something like that. So maybe heaven exists yet to be discovered. Maybe. I don't know. But at least we are sure that they are discovering places other than Los Angeles. Isn't it? Yes. So it may be that there is such a place. And I believe there is such a place. There's such a place. Yes, there is such a place. There is such a place. Just like if someone had told my grandfather that, you know, my grandfather had a phone in his house. To make a call, you picked up the phone and you wound something. Yeah, there was a thing attached to it. Yeah, and you had to wind it. You know, and we always got into trouble for going to wind that thing. Yes, and even when you wound that thing, it didn't connect you to whoever you were calling. It connected you to the post office. Right. And then it's the post office you give the person's number to. You get it? And do you know my grandfather's phone number? Single digit, 6. Yes. Phones were so scarce in those days that in the town where he lived, his phone number was number 6. That was it. Yes. So you just had to wind the thing and give them the other person's number and tell them your extension is number 6 or number 7. Can I speak to 7, please? As phones have multiplied, the numbers, the digits have multiplied. Now you have to have 10 digits to have a distinct phone number. And as we keep going, a day is going to come, you're probably going to need 20 different digits to identify you. Hallelujah. I'm closing. I'm just saying to you that God is the greatest person and he has the greatest love for the greatest number of people, you know, and he gave the greatest gift, which is his only begotten son. Maybe if you don't have a child, you won't understand what it means to give your child. But people who have children know what it means to give your child. They know what it means even for the teacher to talk badly about your child. You see, you know yourself that your child is naughty, but you just don't want another person saying it. Yes, yes. You'll have an issue with the teacher. If they start to write up your child, you're going to report them to the headmistress and tell them this person doesn't like your child. And this is a racist towards your child. And all, you say all this, but you know at the back of your head or mind that your child is tough. People like their children. People like their children. And God gave his only begotten son, not because he didn't like him. There must be a reason why the Bible specifically tells us he gave his only begotten son. Because if it was just letting us know that God gave his son, the scripture could have read, and he gave his son. But God wants you to know that it was costly. To give Jesus was costly. It was a high price he paid. Jesus was not free to God. Free to you, but not free to God. And that's why God is going to come back one day and ask why you didn't accept his offer. Do you see what I'm saying? The price he paid is supposed to point to us the seriousness of what he gave him for us to escape from. Do you see what I'm saying? The price was so high. It's because hell is real. Hallelujah. Today, as we close the service, as I close my preaching, I want you to ask yourself, have you believed in him? Or if you died today, would you perish? Would you go to hell? You know, if you died and there's no hell, I don't think there's anything to lose. If I tell you that LAX airport has moved to the end of this road and you drive up there and it's not there, you don't lose anything. You just come back and sit there. But if you have a flight to catch, and I told you the airport has moved here, and you don't believe me, and you keep going back to the same place, you lose and you miss your flight. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't have anything to lose believing in heaven or hell. We don't have anything to lose receiving Jesus, who is the only escape from hell. The only escape from hell. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means they will live in heaven forever. That's the offer God is making to you today. And I know that you have accepted many offers from people only to find out it was fake love. It was not real love. They wanted something from you. They wanted to be with you. But today I am offering you genuine love. I'm offering you a love like no other. I'm offering you a love that cannot compare, and a love that completes or makes life much more meaningful. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Everybody, bow your head with me, please, as we pray. And I want to give you an opportunity today to embrace that love. I want to give you an opportunity to embrace the greatest escape ever, which is to escape having to go to hell when you die. I want you to pray and ask Jesus, who is God's answer, God's solution to sin. Ask Jesus to come into your life today. Today is a day of salvation. It's a day to know Jesus. It's a day to give your life to Jesus. It is a day to acknowledge that you are a sinner, and that if you die in your sins, you will surely go to hell, as the scripture has said. But why would you go to hell when God has made a free offer for you to escape hell? And that is to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Why would you turn down such an offer? So I want to give you that opportunity. I want to make that offer to you to give your life to Jesus. If you're here this afternoon and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to take this offer. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want you, while every eye is closed, in the privacy of this moment, I want you to raise up your right hand to ask Jesus. You're just raising up your right hand because you want to say, Lord, it's not just a mental agreement, but I'm just saying, yes, count me in. I'm receiving Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Raise up your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that who wants to give your life to Jesus? You're saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me and make me a child of God. Is there anybody here like that? Raise up your right hand so I can see it. I want to pray with you. I really want to pray with you. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a great opportunity to be saved. Is there anyone here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus? Okay. Why don't we just pray this prayer together? Let's all just pray this prayer together. Say with me, Lord Jesus, Everybody say with me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I receive you as God's gift to me. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. Make me a child of God. Say, Lord Jesus, from today, I want you to count me among your children. I want to be a child of God. I say yes to the love of God. I say yes to Jesus. And I say yes to the greatest escape. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Now say with me, say, Satan. Say it again. Say, Satan, you and I are done. Say, today marks the beginning of my new life in Christ. Say, Jesus is my Lord. From this moment forward, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Master. And Jesus is my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? Amen. And I pray that you meant that prayer. And if you meant that prayer, then you have experienced that great escape. Hallelujah. And Jesus is now your Lord, and your life will never again be the same. And I want to encourage you to keep coming to church. Amen. To come to church, to come to the house of God, and to build on and develop your relationship with Him. Amen. You know, it's like going on a date with someone. After the first date, you need to, you know, you need more encounters, isn't it? For the thing to become what it's intended to be, isn't it? Yeah. If you just go out on a date with someone just one time and after that you don't